champagne pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this.
Back here again at the Tony Sands Radio Show. I am your co-host, Kelsey Dudley, here with the main man, Tony Sands. We have a great sports week going on here with sports all over. We have coaches on the hot seat. We have all kind of things going on. High school sports, everything going on.
Black Monday.
Black Monday.
That's all you call it. You got to call it Black Monday.
For the coaches.
Black Monday in college football. What I mean by Black Monday is normally after the regular season ends, and this is not including playoffs. This is not including championships. This is considered after the regular season is over. The regular season is over here in South Florida and around the nation. When it comes to college football, it is over. So Black Monday means the day that a lot of people get pink slips. What I mean by that is that, hey, AD calls you in, president calls you in, and says, guess what? Your services are no longer needed. One guy that got canned was Mark Richt, Georgia. How does that open up this thing down here with the University of Miami? Could play a possibility that Mark Richt name start coming up, because later on in the show, mm-hmm. you're going to hear a soundbite of Mark Richt saying, when some people thought that, you know, at this point in his life, that he would decide he did not want to continue going on coaching, but he made it known that coaching is still in his plan.
Which is what I would think, first off, with Mark Richt, that he would want to, you know, kind of just gather himself together, maybe take a season off, recharge his battery.
Coaching is definitely in his
option. He wants to stay into it. So that means that he has the edge there and he wants to bounce back. So
USC has just made their interim coach. And that's how I want to get into this a little bit. USC has just made their, who was at the time, their interim coach. They have taken the title interim off his name, and Clay Helton has become the head coach. But now, when I look at that scenario and I say, okay, what made Pat Hayden, the athletic director, decide that, hey, we don't want to go outside, we're not looking for any big splash, we are going to stay in-house and go ahead and hire a guy that's already here. It helps ease recruiting. A lot of recruits were saying that if Pat Helton stay on, that they would continue their commitment to USC.
Mm-hmm.
But then I look at that and I say, okay, now, and we always talk about that USC is a hot spot, a top job. Florida would be considered a top job. Texas is considered one of those top jobs. Oklahoma jobs, schools like that are considered top jobs. USC is considered a top job, but I wonder,
yes,
how many people wanted to go after the USC job? That came to my question. How many people would like to really go after the USC job, being that it is a hot job, but being that it is a job that requires a lot? How many people would want to stay and go and coach the Trojans? Because and this is what brings me to mind when I say they gave him the job. Now, you got to understand, when he took over, he went 5-2. Remember, folks, I'm saying he took the Trojan. Once he took over, he had a 5-2 record with the Trojan. They decided to them 5-2 was sufficient enough not to continue on with their coaching search, not to continue paying a search firm to look for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
They decided they would stay with who they have, because who they have to them would be probably the best guy available that they can have. They don't have to make that many great coaching moves, but it would help them. Reason why I bring up the word 5-2, why don't UM decide that they would want to keep their guy? Their guy went 5-1.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at, I think the two situations are very different in that
speed.
You have the level of program, and you have the understanding of where Clay Helton is on a staff that they were winning. They were recruiting well. They were winning. It just so happens that the head coach, he fell off of what he should be doing. Then you come from a staff with Golden, where you had a staff that was what everyone knows down here, down south, is a player development. So in looking at going forward, I think that Miami taking that into account and kind of looking at they need to, for lack of a better word, make a splash with a well-known coach with background. They kind of are more in a tighter situation where they have to prove that coach needs to come in and prove himself.
But now, look at USC. USC is that Miami on the West Coast. USC, to me, probably, when you look at it overall, probably right now is more relevant than the University of Miami.
Yeah, yep.
It's more relevant to the, on the West Coast. They're more relevant. They have won more recent national titles than the University of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they continue to stay with their guy? Their guy went 5-2. Why isn't UM looking at us? Okay, hey, we're talking about all these big name people. What making us not want to stay with our guy? What makes that to where we say, you know what? 5-1 was not good enough. 5-1 is not good enough.
Remember now, USC made this mistake on their last coaching with their last interim coach. I think they should have stayed with their last interim coach, where filling in would have probably been good for them in that particular case. But I guess since they came to this road again, then they considered, okay, let's give him a give him a strong consideration this time and not overlook him. But again, we could have that USC is speaking out and saying, oh, well, we're just going by the records. It was a 5-2 record. He did pretty well. We're just going to throw that. But behind the scenes, I think they started this search a long time ago, and this was a candidate that kind of floated to the top out of who was left.
Correct. But now, what I'm saying is now, 5-2, 5-1. What's making Miami spend so many dollars in researching a head coach and decide to not even to overlook their guy? And then it also brings, as we talk about Mark Richt's name possibly popping up in the search, does Charlie Strong's name still pop up? Because Charlie Strong didn't fare out well in his last game. Charlie Strong did not fare out well in the last game. So now do Texas stay with this guy and say, okay, hey, you know, we're still gonna hold our commitment to Charlie Strong, or are we gonna just say, you know what? At this point, the Oklahoma game wasn't good enough for us, and we decided that we need to part ways.
Tony, I think that Texas is going to hold steady with their choice of staying with Charlie Strong, at least for another year. But what I do look at here is I would not be surprised if Charlie Strong has looked at a buyout clause or a way out of his contract because of what is out there as an option. But I think that the only way that those two divorce each other, that being the Texas program and Charlie Strong, is that Charlie Strong chooses to move on to another opportunity, that being Miami or maybe a job back over here on the East Coast, Georgia possibly. Or it's rumored that Jimbo Fisher may end up being a fill-in, fill-in, for the Georgia job.
No.
I don't think so, but it's rumored that's a possibility.
But I'm looking at Kirby Smart as taking that job. The only job I would have seen Jimbo Fisher take, and I think that's why they went back to Les Miles, because I think Jimbo Fisher decided and told him that he was not ready right today to make an announcement to leave Florida State and go to
LSU.
So he decided. So I think that's why LSU decided, you know, we'll stay with Les Miles probably another year and see what happens out, what pans out with Jimbo, because I think Jimbo was that guy. And I think that decided if they stayed on with Les Miles or moved on to Jimbo Fisher. And Jimbo Fisher told him that he was not ready at this point in time to continue on the move. So they stayed with him. But now, Mark Richt, you bring up, Kirby Smart name is the name that I'm hearing that's going to plug in to the
Georgia job.
Georgia job.
Well,
he's
yeah,
a Georgia native now.
It's going to be first. It's going to be first one to the table in that because South Carolina.
He's a Georgia native.
Has put their hat into
the
whole thing with Kirby Smart and they're kind of going after him first. You know, they had said it last week.
Yep.
So they're looking at now Georgia opens up. Which is a heck of a program.
Correct.
Good location, good facilities.
Correct.
I would say right now with USC being being filled, with the USC job being filled, I would say right now we're looking at possibly Georgia being the best job out there now, besides South Carolina.
Yeah, to me, Georgia's better than South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Money-wise, location-wise, recruiting-wise, Georgia's a better fit. Then, South Carolina. I love South Carolina. It was a reason to me why Steve Spurrier jumped ship.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the outcome of how their season is going to why I think he jumped ship, which I think you his sons even said it came to them as a surprise of why, how this guy just left.
Uh-huh.
It surprised them. But they say they don't foresee in their dad's future that he would be a coach. Anymore. I think he's going to probably go into the broadcasting end of it and continue on that aspect of it. But before we leave, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. But before we leave, we're going to let you hear a minute and 30 seconds of the Mark Richt departure interview. We're going to let you hear the first 30 seconds of that interview on what and how Mark Richt was talking to the alumni and the boosters at the University of Georgia.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. Coach Richt and Greg McGarrity will each have a brief opening statement, and then we'll take your questions. Please remember we have floor microphones, so if you'll raise your hand when you have a question, and we'll get one of the floor microphones to you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I wrote some notes. I don't think I'll need them, but I'll take a peek if I need to. But the first thing I want to do is just thank the Bulldog Nation in general. I want to thank Coach Vince Dooley and Michael Adams for hiring me and for Greg McGarrity and President Jerry Moorhead for letting me stick around a while. And I want to especially thank all the current players and former players that have had the opportunity to coach here at Georgia, all the staff members that have worked so hard alongside me to make Georgia an even better place than it already is. And, you know, the Redcoats, the cheerleaders, the students, you know, all the dog walks, all the memories have been just phenomenal for myself and for my family. And Georgia's been our home. Athens has been a true blessing to me and my family, and I'm just very thankful for all the time that I've been able to spend here, and it's been great.
Back here, as you got a chance, that was Mark Richt speaking to the boosters, the Georgia alumni, Georgia fan base, and his departure interview.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm gonna tell you something. It was such an odd interview. If you got a chance to look at that, go to ESPN and look at that. It was such an odd interview because, in a way, he was kind of throwing shade at Georgia, at the AD.
Yeah.
He was throwing shade on him, and the AD was just sitting there looking like, this is odd. That's kind of odd. I always say, me as an AD, I would not want to be on the podium with the guy that is doing an exit interview.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to come out of that.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to come
he
out.
He threw shade at him a lot. He threw people, everybody know what shade is. Shade is saying, I'm going to jig at you a little bit under the belt. But that's what happened. But, hey, my main man Bibb's going to join us. But we're going to a quick commercial break. We're going to play some awesome music as we go to this quick commercial break. We're going to a two-minute commercial break, and we're going to the great state of Texas, Charlie Strong, and what else? Them Dallas Cowboys. Did they bring Tony Romo back too early? My main man Bibbs is going to enlighten you. Did Tony Romo come back early, or is it over in Big D with Tony Romo.
Yeah,
stay
this year.
Here to the Tony Sands Show.
Had them looking just like, ooh, $50,000 on you, bitch. You on the phone, you gotta scream it like, ooh, 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 ooh. Cause I got a check, ooh, then you on the flip. I ain't got a flip, but I got it. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
All right, fans. All right, we're back here at the Tilted on, Kilt downtown, Andrews Avenue and 2nd Street. Downtown Fort Lauderdale. This is a wonderful sports bar, fans. If you get a chance to come down here and check us out, it is lovely right here. You can see the downtown streets. You have a bunch of TVs all over where you
and
can
I'm
catch all of the sporting events.
The boneless hot wings.
And the boneless hot favorite, wings, you know, Tony usually goes in on those with
my
the hot mild sauce, you know. And then I'm all over the menu. You know me, I got to try things. So,
My favorite.
Come on down here and join us. Have a little fun. Monday Night Football is going on tonight. Cleveland Browns, Baltimore Ravens. You know, we're getting here, having some fun.
I think about Johnny Manziel has been demoted to the third man on the depth chart. You go out partying, you come back, and your whole world, you go in as number one. You spend a night of partying with your homeboys, and all of a sudden you come back number three on the
Listen,
depth
chart. I want to know where his homeboys are after they made the video, because they were shown on the video
but
on TV.
Where are you when I'm in trouble? Are they your homeboys, though?
No, they're not. At the end of the day, they're not. But I want to know where you at, because I'm sitting here taking it while y'all at home probably
taking
sleeping
it.
Off the hangover.
Losing money.
Taking it from
the
coach.
You done shown videos with me toasting it up with you. I'm quite sure he paid for all that. He paid to be demoted. You paid to be demoted. How did one pay to be demoted? I don't understand that.
And I don't think it affects him, Tony. I really don't.
You think it's got to?
I don't think it does.
It's going to affect him in the pocket, though.
It's a pattern.
It's going to affect him in the pocket.
It's going to affect him in the pocket, but understand where he comes from. So this is why I say it doesn't bother him. His background, he comes from money.
I understand
okay?
all
now,
that. I understand. But
to change his pattern of behavior.
He is a player. Players want to play.
He wants to play.
Players want to play.
But right now.
Players want to play.
Right now, away from that field where he cannot play, he wants to party almost
but
harder
party
than he wants to play.
Cam Newton is dapping while he's playing. Ow! He's dapping. Playing and partying at the same time. Even told a man he'll slap him.
I understand that.
Damn, even told a dude I think it was either today or yesterday, that he'll slap him. Told a dude he'll slap him, bro. So now what that tell you? Cam is still dapping and slapping at the same time. You get it?
Listen.
Dapping and slapping. Dapping and slapping.
What year is he in? And Manziel's in his second year, right?
Yeah. He's a young guy.
He's a young guy. Cam in his second year was still the same.
He was spoiled at Texas A&M. Spoiled coming into the league. So you got the same thing. But, hey, let's head to Dallas. Let's talk to our main man, Bibbs, who joins the show via the Dallas Cowboys. Bibbs, what's going on, brother?
What's going on?
Oh, man, not too much. How y'all doing today?
All right.
Bibbs, man, it's raining down here in South Florida, wet streets. But, man, listen. It ain't too wet in the state, great state of Texas. When you're looking at, is this it for Tony Romo? Have we seen the last Tony Romo?
I think it is raining.
Raining injuries.
Now,
that's what it's raining right now. Raining injuries.
Did they bring him back too early, though? Did they bring him back too early?
Yeah. I mean, we really don't know, man. I don't really know how Tony Romo, how his body heals up. But like we said, we spoke about this weeks ago about, you know, him possibly getting hurt again, and it actually happened. So that's a re-injured shoulder. This would be the third time he's injured that same clavicle. So, you know, tough situation for him. The team, you know, the team was kind of really banking on him to come back and give him some type of hope and, you know, make maybe a possible push for that playoff spot with the NFC East being so dreadful as it is right now.
Right.
But I don't think it happens now. I don't see Matt Castle leading the troops, you know, running the table 6-1 to finish the season out. So I think their playoff hopes are definitely down the drain. And we just ready, basically better shut it down and get ready for next season. Now the question is, will Tony Romo be able to finish out next season?
But now,
that's the big question in Dallas right now. Will he be able to withstand a full 16-game season again in his career, which we don't know.
But now if he can't, now, do the Dallas Cowboys go into this one saying, hey, we possibly got to find a receiver in the draft via free agency? What's the urgency on that?
A quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I believe that. I mean, they've been saying this for a couple of years now, and I don't – and, you know, management hasn't – you know, they haven't went in and drafted a quarterback as of yet, you know. But I think at this point, it's just very inevitable. They have to, you know, find somebody for the future. Like I said, we don't know how much longer Tony has in his career left. He's pretty old. He's on the backside of his career, as we all know. So it's time to get some fresh legs in the center, you know, and maybe just develop him. Maybe not somebody to come in and start right away. I doubt that that'll happen. But somebody to come in, you know, and learn maybe a year or two, and then when the time to take over the reins, you're going to hand him the keys to the car and let him go ahead and drive it.
Correct.
I think the bad thing there, Bibbs, though, this is not a year to be looking for a quarterback in the draft per se, like a.
I mean, it's not a. It's
you
not
don't
a
have
draft.
Any definite guys that franchise yeah. guys that you can say, yeah, that's the guy we need to go after that could lead our franchise.
That is definitely one of the major issues this year. We don't have any, you know, Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin III in this draft.
It's not, but when you look at, let's break it down more to. Do you guys also now with Tony Romo being injured, do you guys also look that you got to draft defensive line? Not only a quarterback, now you got to go defensive line. Do the Dallas Cowboys stay with their main man? Because it's been rumored that Jerry Jones at one time was candid that he will renew the contract of his main guy on the defensive line. But now it's almost, he said, we'll wait till the end of the season to see how it plays out. So have the pressure caved in on the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones organization that they might not be able to hold on to their main guy, or is it a wise move for them to hold on to him?
And your main guy speaking of Greg Hardy.
You right about that, buddy.
Right. And that's a real very, very tricky situation because of, you know, all of the backlash and the criticism that the Cowboys have received, particularly Jerry Jones, you know, since Greg Hardy was signed to his team. And then Greg Hardy's not really helping the situation by doing some of the things that he's doing, especially with the Twitter comments and changing of his name and not really being remorseful. Like I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, just not very remorseful about the things that he's done.
Correct.
In his past.
Correct.
So, I don't know. They did draft a defensive lineman, last year in Randy Gregory, defensive end out of Nebraska, and they have, you know, high hopes for him. But he was injured early in the season. I want to say first game of the season. So, you know, he hadn't really come on like they thought he would after the injury. So he's getting a chance to kind of sit back and learn from Greg Hardy, actually. And, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is kind of coming on, too. So I think they do have some bright spots at the defensive line position, so they might not, you know, go that high at that position. But they definitely have to get a quarterback. And I don't know who at this point. And I honestly don't think that if they even were to draft a quarterback at this point, this coming up draft, he probably wouldn't see the field as much. Tony Romo should be healed, but I think you'll have they'll re-sign Matt Castle, you know, to a minimum deal to back up Tony. And
Right. Yeah.
And get, you know, a chance to learn the offense from the beginning, you know, camp and all that, and get some camaraderie with his team, you know, with his teammates, and some timing with his receivers. I think he'll have a better chance at, you know, winning some ball games if it comes down to that. But right now, Dallas is in a very, very bad situation. They're 3-8. The season is basically over for them. So they just, you know, just going to finish it out. I wouldn't think they'll lay down. They'll still fight. They'll still try to come out and win ball games. But as far as them going to the playoffs, and as far as with Tony Romo and Jerry Jones saying that he's going to go to the Super Bowl, we all know that is over.
Bibbs, let me ask you this now, and I said this with some other people, and looking at, and we talked from the beginning of the season, going into the season, and one of the first things, or first dominoes to fall in this situation was the leaving of the running back there, and then him going over to the Eagles and not being available, DeMarcus Murray not being available for the Cowboys. How would that be a major piece being put back into the whole equation if of them going to draft maybe one of the top running backs coming out? Are you looking to get that guy, a mainstay at running back, back in there that would then maybe help a Romo to not make that many passes, or maybe a Castle to fill in that he doesn't have to do that much work going back running game? How you think
that
would work?
You know what? If it was me and I was a general manager and I was drafting for the Cowboys, I definitely would go running back. I would go running back first because I feel like they need that lead back. They need that running back that can carry the load for the team.
Right.
Like y'all said about the draft, as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, it's not really a big draft for quarterbacks. So you'll have to draft a quarterback in the first round. You can go second, third round to draft your quarterback. And go high as far as a running back. Because running backs seem to, like this past year, they had a couple of running backs go first round. You know, so maybe the running back position is coming back around, you know. And I do see some pretty good studs in the college game at this point, you know. So it's only time will tell. Definitely time will tell. I'm sure they'll evaluate and see what's the best fit for them and what they need to, you know, be successful again in this league.
Right.
But I go running back. I 100% feel like I will go running back.
You spend a first-round draft pick on running back?
Yeah.
No, come on.
That's where it all went wrong, Tony.
I'll go running back, and I don't mean and with them being
in this day and age, first round. They didn't pick up. To me, they didn't pick up the correct running backs. I think
right.
They didn't pick up the correct running back, but I still feel, and it's been proven over and over again, that you can go late round and pick up a great running back. You go Washington.
It's very, very hit or miss.
It's hit or miss at the quarterback position, but not at the running back position. Because the running back position has not been evolved back yet into what it is. Because all the running back now is a receiver. What? Running backs now are just receivers.
But the Rams feel pretty good about Gurley.
And
you got Ezekiel Elliott, a guy that's a main guy.
Look how many you naming two guys out of how many? Two guys out of how many?
Yeah, it's only a few now. It's only a few.
How many teams?
If you go running back, you have to go special running back. You won't go top of the class. You're not gonna go one of the backs that's just a basic back. No, Ezekiel Elliott is a pretty special back, I think. You know, now the thing is, did you trade back to get him, or do you have to trade up to get him? Now I wouldn't trade up to get anybody, not a running back.
Right. There you go.
If I could trade down and get him later in the first round, then I would. Definitely would. But I wouldn't trade up to get him.
And right now with the record, they have the options based on how the record looks or how they'll finish out. They will have options. They'll be in a good position to make some decisions going down the line.
I just don't see. And I'm a running back, so that I'm not knocking the position that I play.
Right.
But I just don't see the Dallas Cowboys with the needs that they have, and the Cowboys have a lot of needs. I don't see going to get a running back that high. I just don't see it. With the needs that the Dallas Cowboys have, I just don't see going after running backs.
What's another area that, and Bibbs, you could jump in on this. What's another area of need?
Defensive backs. Come on now.
They just drafted a defensive back. Out of the University of UConn, and he's been pretty good for them. But I don't know if they'll go that high again at defensive back and then possibly have the same situation like they had with Maurice Claiborne. You know, a kid that just won't develop, developing for you.
He's just not developing at all. And it appears, it seems like, I guess he stays injured.
And I could have swore Maurice Claiborne was going to be a good player. You couldn't tell me he was not going to be a good player coming out.
But
people got to understand, when you look at Maurice Claiborne, he played with Patrick Peterson at one point, you know, with Peterson at one point. And so when Peterson went off to go play in the NFL, then he was the number one guy, but his numbers never looked like Peterson's numbers.
Correct.
He's never. He's not that dynamic of an athlete like Peterson.
No.
You know, like, he's a dynamic athlete. That's why he's able to do the things he does on the field. Moyes Claiborne is not that, and people thought that he was. And so now that upside was so high, they traded all the way up to the sixth pick to get him, and he was not worth a sixth pick in the NFL draft. So,
now,
I don't know.
But now, I'm going to tell you something. There's only really two running backs that you could look at for the first round. That's Ezekiel Elliott and Derrick Henry. If I'm looking at
you're absolutely correct.
In the situation that the Cowboys in, I'm going Derrick Henry, not Ezekiel Elliott, though.
I can see that.
I'm going Derrick Henry.
I can see that.
Why would you go Henry instead of Elliott?
I'm going a pounder.
To go behind that line. I can see that.
I'm going to where, guess what? We're going to play smash mouth football. We want to run the football. We're going to run it at its best. We're going to smash mouth football. We're going to go and get it.
Be physical. Go back to being that physical team.
If you saw what Alabama did, you saw how he played this past weekend. He is a bruiser. Yeah. When it comes to the fourth quarter, they're putting that big line on you.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, now you got to stop a banger, because you can go get a slasher.
Yeah, you can go get a slasher. That's not a problem.
Is that what y'all consider? Is it really a slasher type running back?
No.
I don't think he's a slasher at all. I think he's a pretty good all-around running back.
He's not that bruiser. When you look at a bruiser of a back, he's not that bruiser like Henry at all. He don't give me that same oomph that Henry gives me.
Not in the bruising department, but he got it in the home run department.
He got it in the home run.
He's a home run hitter, but he can run between the tackles also.
He wasn't a home run guy.
Yeah, but he can run between the tackles too. Yeah, he can.
But listen, you going up against one of the toughest – we're going up against possibly a Philadelphia or possibly a Washington in our division. Mm-hmm. I want to bang them boys. I want to bang them. And in the fourth quarter is what I'm looking at, a banger. So if I got a banger, the guy that's going to give you headaches, I'm going with the headache guy. I would go Henry. If I'm going to spend some time.
Now, banging and bruising in the NFL as far as the running back position, it doesn't tend to last long.
Yeah, you don't tend to last long.
Not in this day and age.
But Jerry Jones needs a quick fix now.
Yeah, he needs a quick fix. He can't go wrong with either one, is what I'm saying.
He needs somebody now. I'm going to tell you something. When you look at – I look at Ohio – and this is why I look at why I speak on Ohio State and possibly really both of the schools outside of Eddie George. Trying to think, who else is there running back from Ohio State that is
Maurice Claret, but he didn't get a chance.
Robert Smith.
But when I look at Alabama, I'm looking at the two Heisman Trophy candidates.
They haven't done well.
I don't know if these guys at both of these schools burn out early, because I remember they used to say that years ago about Nebraska guys. They burn out early and they don't give you much toward the end of their career. They run
the hell out of them in college.
That's what I'm saying. They bang them. Now, I'm going to tell you another guy also. Now, don't be surprised. I'm going to tell you this. Don't be surprised if Jerry Jones don't go Alex Collins out of Arkansas.
Oh, I love Alex Collins. I love that.
I had a chance to train Alex Collins. So don't be surprised that he's an Arkansas guy.
I love that kid.
They got it projected to possibly be a third round, but I think this young man going to fare well in the draft, in his combine, and boost his rating up. So don't be surprised. You know, Jerry Jones will pull on Arkansas guy.
Hey, listen, he will be the steal out of the running backs, out of the top five running backs. Collins will be the guy that I think will actually project in the NFL better than most. Yeah.
He's been banged.
They run the hell out of their running backs too over in Arkansas.
They do.
I don't know.
He's a Florida guy, and I know how we like to keep it tough down here, Bib. So I'm staying with my Florida guy here.
That's home team.
That's
home team for me, and it's home team for Jerry Jones.
Yeah. Jerry definitely loves his Razorbacks, so I could definitely see him, you know, possibly picking up Collins if the opportunity is there.
Especially with the other
needs that they have. They're able to get somebody else ahead of him, and then he falls to them in their lap, then that'd be perfect draft.
That would.
But, you know, it has to be perfect, basically.
But he can – I mean, because they can – Alex Collins can still fall for him in the second or the third round, and you still get the quality back.
Yeah, you said the second or the third round. After we go through this offseason and that kid gets into that combine.
If he don't like Alex, he don't want to come back to the Mississippi, South Florida.
No.
Because he's had a rough upbringing as it is anyway.
Yeah.
So I know he takes that in consideration to say, okay, listen, I don't want that.
Yeah, his combine will improve his stock.
Bill, but before we let you go, bro, let's tap into Texas. Charlie Strong, is he faring out well in Texas?
Charlie's pretty much safe. That's what's going on in Texas right now. He's safe. Right now, he's trying to find a way to get an offensive coordinator. He's reaching out to offensive coordinators, and just recently, he reached out to TCU's co-offensive coordinator and Sonny Cumbie. So, obviously, we can see that he's trying to open the offense up. He's going away from that ground and pound, and he's going to try to spread it out. So, that's basically the news that's going on in Texas right now. They're 4-7. They probably won't make a bowl game. They have one more game against Baylor, which they're not picked to win that game. And if they do, it'll be a miracle. But, you know, that's where Texas is at right now. You know, just basically gearing up to get prepared for the offseason and come back strong next year.
Now, how's Texas fan taking that 48-45 loss to Texas Tech?
They hadn't lost to Texas. Texas, Michael Crabtree was there. And so, you know, they don't like it at all. You know, don't really like losing to in-state rivals at all. I don't think any school does. But Texas also knows where they're at right now. And they actually played a good game. The defensive side of the ball is just not stepping up to the plate like we would expect a Charlie Strong type of defense to step up. They ran the ball exceptionally well. This was their best game as far as rushing the football this year. But we're talking about Texas Tech, though. Texas Tech doesn't have a good defense either. So, you know, like I said, Texas is at a down point right now. University of Texas is very much at a down point. And, I mean, people still have hopes for them. They still have hope for Charlie Strong. They think Charlie Strong can come and can you know, produce a winning football team as soon as next year. But it's going to come down to the quarterback play. It's going to come down to his defense. They're going to have to come back. They're going to have to come with it. Like what we're used to seeing at the University of Texas. They play good defense, solid defense, and they are able to put up points. This year, they haven't been able to put up many points, and they haven't been able to stop anybody. When you have those two combinations,
bad combination.
You have bad combination. You don't win.
Well, it ain't too many days I can see where Texas has only won four games.
This and is a worse brother than
like
last year.
Charlie Strong, and I say clearly, a brother like Charlie Strong, with the Texas fan base.
Let me just say this though. One thing he is doing right now, and he's playing his freshmen. He's playing his young guys. He's getting his young guys acclimated to the college speed, and they're getting their reps on the field. And so that should help them tremendously going into next season. The kids are getting a chance to get on the field right now. The freshmen and players that didn't play earlier in the season are getting a chance to play now. And so that should help them tremendously.
So you're saying Charlie Strong is basing his life, his career right now on young guys. You're a bold dude.
Right.
He's a bold dude.
At this point right now, he's really – that's the only option I think he has is to play his young guys, get them ready, so next season when the time comes, they'll be ready to step up and win some games for him. Yeah. If he don't get them playing right now, they'll come in and they'll be shocked by the lights, the big stage in Texas. It's still the University of Texas at the end of the day. It's still one of the biggest football programs in the country. And the pressure is on them right now. Their pressure is there. They're not winning home games. They're not winning road games. They're not stopping anybody. But the way to get better, when you have a program like that, you play your young guys. You know, you play your young guys and just get them ready for the next season.
B, and you said it, get them right for the next season. Get them right. That's what's going on in the great state of Texas when it comes to football. The Cowboys and the University of Texas run this great state of Texas, and you getting that implied information from my main man, Bibbs. Hey, B, listen, we may call on you on Friday because we may be over in Bradenton, or we may be right back here at Tilt the Kilt in Los Olas and Andrews Avenue, the place that is out of sight.
I'm ready at all times, man. Give me a call. Y'all want to hear what I got.
High school football, what is, as a matter of fact, Friday, if we bring you on air, well, let's dig into some of y'all high school football because we're in the playoffs here in South Florida.
Yeah, we're in the playoffs too, and so and it's going down in Texas, as you know.
You know, I want to know. I want to know, so we're going to dig into you. We're going to pick some schools up that's in the playoffs, in the big part of the playoffs, and we're going to let you break it down as we bring you back. If it's Monday or if it's Friday, Bibbs going to give us the inside on the results in Texas. Hey, Bibbs, man, it was great joining you, having you to take your time out to join the Tony Sands Show. But now, listen, we got two guys that's going to be coming up here in South Florida from South Broward High School, Tremaine Williams, who is a defensive back, and we got the uncomparable D. Neely from South Broward, linebacker here on the Tony Sands Show, joining us up. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to, our main man, Ryan Bartow from 24/7 Sports, is joining the show. He's going to dig into his segment. He's calling in this week. He normally joins us here at the show, but he's on the road digging into recruiting because we're now getting into the phase of the game to where we bring in the top in their field in the 2017 class, 16 class of recruits. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick two-minute break. My main man Ryan is with us, but we're going to take a two-minute commercial break, and we're digging back into the Ryan Bartow Hour of the Tony Sands Show.
Yo, Jordan Empty, this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that, like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We're live from Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on the corner of Las Olas and Andrews Avenue. As I told you, we have high school guys from South Broward joining the show live here on set. St. Andrews is supposed to join us, but due to the fact their coach wasn't feeling well, they could not join the show. So we're bringing on our main man from South Broward, Neely and Williams, linebacker and defensive back. We're going all defensive guys here on the Tony Sands Show. But without further ado, you heard Mr. Carter playing. It is Mr. Carter himself, the man of the hour, my main man, Ryan Bartow. What's going on, Ryan?
Doing great, guys. How's everything downtown?
Oh, man, it is downtown. When you're in South Florida and you are in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and you are downtown, baby, you're in the hottest area of South Florida to be downtown.
Amen.
Oh, it is lovely, man. You know that. We miss you here, though. We miss you here, but we got you on the phone, so we still got a hold of you. But, hey, let's dig into some things before we dig into recruiting. Let's dig into this coaching thing now. It might be nothing shook up a little bit here in South Florida with Mark Richt, possibly, with Mark Richt being let go.
Yeah, I mean, today at the press conference this morning, he said he's still interested in coaching. I mean, we'll have to see that to believe it. Some people think he's like Les Miles or like a Bob Stoops, where this was the last job he was going to coach at. Obviously, he has $40 million in the bank, and he has other interests outside of football, which a lot of coaches don't have. So we'll see. He is an alum, and obviously living in South Florida, but we'll see if he wants to take on the energy of a rebuilding job in a place where you're going to have to hustle and work hard every day to keep your home talent in place.
But now, so he did say
that's
one thing.
A whole
thing,
new
though.
Challenge for an older guy.
For an older guy. And he did say one thing, though, that he would, and I think him not being so hands-on, he kind of alluded to that probably was the demise of him at the University of Georgia, because he did say he would be more hands-on, rather than being the special teams or something. He would be more hands-on. And you tend, and I think that come with age.
Mm-hmm.
As you start to age, and it alludes back to what you were saying, Ryan, at that age, how much can you really be hands-on? Because you don't really have that enthusiasm to run around the field like young guys have. And that's why I always go back to my main man for the University of Miami.
I'd rather delegate it.
You got to.
Yeah, well, at the same time, too, the momentum, the buzz, at least in South Florida, and this switches every day.
every day.
Just like correct. Kind of the nature of the recruits down here. But obviously Butch Davis interviewed on Saturday, so it seems like he's the first one to interview. He's got the buzz, the momentum.
Yeah.
Greg Schiano interviewed yesterday. We'll see when and if guys like Mario Cristobal, Rob Chisholm, anybody else gets their crack at it too, because I expect them to have a hire in place within a week from today, because the recruiting period goes dead 2 weeks from today, and you've got to bring in your early enrollees in your visit before it goes dead on that last weekend.
And that's like I say, when you look at this whole thing of with the University of Miami, they got to start acting fast. But then when you look at Mario Cristobal and you look at Butch Davis, I think Butch Davis can put more buzz out from the simple fact that he can talk about a lot of this. Mario Cristobal is kind of, at this point, with him still being under contract, it still and being under contract with Nick Saban, I think still kind of keeps him more of a smaller bit to where I really can't say what I really want to say.
Right.
And it's making everybody think that Butch Davis has all of a sudden jumped to the front runner guy. I know that Miami was saying that he kind of answered some of the questions, everybody been saying about the baggage. But I still say, everywhere he's gone, baggage has followed.
Yeah, I mean, there is concerns there. He's obviously 63 going on 64. Wants to run like a slow pro-style run offense. I'm not sure if that fits the personnel you get down here. Hasn't been here in 15 years, so he'd have to redevelop all those rapports he had with the high school coaches as well as the recruits in a short period of time. And obviously got North Carolina in trouble, and Miami's just coming off trouble. And has had his own health issues, too. So there is some questions with that candidate.
Of course. And that's the reason why I look at, when you, like you said, a rebuilding process. How much can an old guy really get into, an older guy, I'm going to call it, get into really the process of rebuilding? It's tough, bro.
It's tough,
the grind of recruiting, the grind of getting on the field, hustling out the guys. And when you take over a job like that, you got to be hands-on. You got to be hands-on.
Can't Butch be kind of a figurehead, even though he can kind of lean on what he did at UM before and say, look, I'm going to get a good staff in here with me to do a lot of my running around?
This is not that type of job.
You don't think so?
No, not in this type of job. Not the University of Miami. You could be a figurehead.
Because you got the whole country recruits down here. And you got to fight off the world to keep these kids here, and the number one thing you need is energy.
Energy. You got to have that
positive and a rapport and people in the community that you can lean on when it's nut crunching time, and you got to get this kid who's got the ties, who's going to deliver.
Correct. Now, Ryan, let's jump in, as you said, recruiting. You spoke of it just now. Let's look at, because we're saying we're going to bring in the wide receivers. We want to bring in wide receivers this upcoming week here at the Tilt the Kilt on the Tony Sands Show. Let's break down, you spoke about it one time on here. Let's break down those top five. We'll go for top five.
Five or ten.
Let's go ten. Let's go to 10 of your top.
Well, my list is exactly the same as it was 2 weeks ago. Nothing's happened.
I'm just checking you. I'm just testing you.
Okay, we'll start at 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Wait, we'll start at 5 and work our way up to number 1.
How about this? I'll give you the juice on where these kids are leaning in terms of starting up in Palm Beach. Amon Richards, he's a U.S. Army. And this is in no order. This is just straight recruiting juice for your listeners. But Amon Richards, he's up at Wellington. He's a four-star U.S. Army All-American. He visited Auburn over the weekend. Okay. And he has Auburn and Alabama tied on top with Miami number 3. He's a former Miami commit. He, like a lot of South Florida kids, are looking with high anticipation to see who the Hurricanes hire. In the meantime, he's leaning towards, the SEC rivals in terms of Alabama and Auburn tied on top. Another recruit heavily leaning towards the SEC is at Deerfield Beach, a guy you guys are big on, in Kaven Ridley. He's got obviously connections and ties to Alabama, but might want to do his own thing, and that might mean Auburn for the big wideout at Deerfield Beach. In terms of getting down in Broward here, Obviously, Brandon Johnson's already committed to Tennessee. It's a hell of a get for them. Big upside guy. Traditional place that produces wide receivers. At St. Thomas Aquinas, their little slot guy, Sam Bruce, probably he's still committed to Miami, I guess, but he's always been leaning towards playing college ball with his best friend, Jordan Scarlett, and going to Florida and being a contributor for the Gators. That's where my crystal ball is on for him. The number one receiver in South Florida is Benjamin Victor. He's at Coconut Creek, another U.S. Army All-American. Right now, he's big on Florida, where he just visited over the weekend, as well as Ohio State. Tennessee will also get an official, but he's a guy that is looking to make his first verbal commit come January 9th at the U.S. Army All-American game. Dipping down in the date a little bit, you got obviously Josh Hammond is already committed to Florida, really good receiver, great kid out of Hollandale. Darnell Solomon out of Miami Central, four-star kid, committed to South Florida, the Bulls, this morning. Freddie Pinder, a big wideout at Southridge, 6'6" receiver. Looks like Temple might be able to come down here and steal him, given the season they've had this season. So that's kind of covering the main receivers in South Florida this cycle and kind of where they're leaning.
Okay.
Hey. Temple is going to come down here and steal a receiver down in Dade that's 6'6". Ryan, are you serious?
Yes.
Yep.
Now, wow.
Now, but does the fact that Temple's coach is being looked at, does that?
I don't think so. I think it's more in terms of questions on the top end speed, maybe the academics, where that's his best available offer.
Okay. Now I understand. But hey, listen, Ryan, we need now next week, next Monday, we're going to send out, and we're sending out invitations. We want to bring at least we're going to bring 10 receivers in the building. I want to bring 10 receivers in the building next week. We're going to reach out to Benjamin Victor. We're going to reach out to Sam Bruce. I want to reach out. We're going to also bring, we're going to bring Trayvon Grimes in the building.
Sure, then that's one for next year.
Yeah, we're looking a little bit. Now, I'm going to tell you who's surprising me. I think it's, what is it? Is it Thielman over at St. Thomas, number four?
Number four. Is a diamond in the rough.
That guy there is.
That kid is
I'm
a diamond in the rough.
How this guy here, now he's looking good.
When you I look like at him.
Thomas, he has the most yardage out of all the receivers over there.
I like him.
He has the most yardage. He's a young guy. He's a, well, not a young guy because he's of age. I can see that young guy is turning heads later on toward the season, toward this thing, when this recruiting thing play out. But we want to bring, I want to bring five of those. I want to bring, like I said, we're going to try to, our goal is to get 10 guys in. Yeah. 10 receivers. Grimes, we're going to bring the best of the best in the building. It is going, we're going straight receivers here in the building as we build up to National Signing Day. As we build up to National Signing Day, we want to bring 10 top ones in the building. So we're going to reach out. We need you to reach out. We're going to bring 10 of the top receivers in the building next week. Look forward here on the Tony Sands Show with my main man, Ryan Bartow. Hey, Ryan, listen, I need you digging into it. I'm going to call you tomorrow because we're going to dress up these invites and we're bringing them in the building. We're bringing them on the show. We're spending next week dealing with nothing but wide receivers. And we want to get their highlights. So as we're talking about them, we're putting them up on the big screen. We're bringing their highlights to it. We've been to kick off and start up to our countdown to National Signing Day here on the Tony Sands Show.
Talking my lingo, receivers, bringing in the receivers. Let's do it, Ryan.
Ryan got to get them in here.
Let's do it.
One place that has the number one receiving core in the country committed right now, they named their full-time coach this morning when Clay Helton got the Southern Cal job.
Uh-huh.
And just being out there a couple weeks ago and kind of surveying the temperature of who those high school coaches in Southern Cal wanted, Clay Helton was more than 50% the majority, and I think that worked out for him, and he's a great high-level character guy, an offensive mind, and he gets one of the true gem jobs in college football.
Yeah.
And we talked about that earlier on the show when we opened up the show. We talked about the USC job and how that worked out, because I stated that he went 5-2 and USC decided they got their guy right there. They don't have to spend that much more money on researching. It helps them with recruiting because they were saying that a lot of recruits loved it, this guy. They loved it.
Yep.
And it made those guys stay solid to USC.
Yeah, plus I think going forward to look for that staff that's in place right now to have some changes on both sides and probably get back to playing, you know, Southern Cal 4-3 defense, which fits their personnel better.
Correct.
And I think if they do that going forward with what they have in terms of their freshman and sophomore classes, they'll open up as a top 5 team in the country next year.
Wow. Top 5 in the country.
Loaded.
Right. Okay, now let's break it down. Let's look at, give me your top 3 right now when we look at recruiting, your top 3 schools that are up there when it comes to recruit.
Well, right now on 24/7 Sports, ranked number 1 is Ohio State. Defending national champs, have done a really good job of not only sealing up the top guys in state, but extending their wings. When they spot recruit out of a region, they can go with anybody. Number 2 is LSU. I think their class is as loaded as anybody. They are especially loaded at the number 1 position you can find in that state on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. So a lot of promise with that staff. Obviously keeping Les Miles there.
Yep.
However that worked out, that's going to help their recruiting class going forward, and especially in terms of finishing strong, too, because they're still batting number 1 or number 2 for probably 6 more 4 or 5 stars, so they could finish as strong as anybody. And then another team to look at, obviously, is Alabama has had the top recruiting class in the country the last 4 years. They're trying to keep that streak extended. I think this is a year where it probably snaps. But they're loaded. Obviously, their O-line coach, Mario Cristobal, has recruited the number 1 offensive line class. This will be the 3rd year in a row he's done that. The number 1 JUCO in the country, Charles Baldwin. Number 1 offensive tackle in California, and Jonah Williams. Cristobal landed both those guys. So a lot of upside in that class as well.
Hey, listen, and that's what I'm – listen, when I'm in the barbershop, Ryan, this is what I'm telling people. And they're saying, Butch, I'm saying, listen, bro. This guy is relevant. When you can build an offensive line, go out and get the top offensive lineman in the country, that builds foundation. Foundation, but that's nothing but chemistry to success.
Yeah.
That's why Alabama is winning.
Especially down here where you can get your whole roster, and I firmly believe this, from Palm Beach down, except your run blockers, your defensive tackles, and your quarterback.
Yes.
That always isn't here, so sometimes those are the 3 positions you have to go north of Palm Beach for.
Correct. And he's doing it. He is doing it. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Listen, if UM want to get back to their winning ways.
Quickly,
fastly, however you want to call it, sense of urgency, you got to go Mario Cristobal. You got to go. He's going to build that team around that offensive line, and everything else falls into place.
Yeah.
Everything else falls into place.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, that was the case in 2001 when they had the best team of all time.
Yes.
And that was the one time where the strength of their team, you know, was their offensive tackles. And so it's not the easiest place to recruit linemen. Sometimes you got to go elsewhere. Sometimes it's JUCO. Sometimes it's Northeast or Midwest that mass produce those guys. And that's kind of one of his niches and specialties, as well as obviously his South Florida ties.
But Ryan, also, as we, you know, next week as we bring these receivers in, I want to reach out and bring on the show a receiver from California, one of their top receivers that we can get in touch with, that we can have come on the show also next week.
Sure.
Via phone.
Right now they have 9 4-star receivers in the Los Angeles area. So you take your pick. I know all of them inside out.
Give me the best one. Bring him on the Tony Sands Show, and we going to get him in the building, baby. What's up, baby?
We're bringing
all
the
top receivers in the building next week, 10 of them. They coming in the building next week. The top 10 receivers in the country will be in the building. We'll be here with the top receivers in the country. Guess the top 10.
Top 10.
Top 10 is coming in the building. I want the best of the
best. A lot of U.S. Army All-Americans in that game. And we got that coming up on deck the first week of January.
Them your boys. Them, like I said, you have been the instrument to driving their success. So I want to bring those boys in the building. We're bringing the top 10 receivers. But my main girl, Julie, is telling me she's going to call me later. That's my girl. Hey, listen. We're bringing them in the building. That's my main girl, Julie. She keeps me in tune to what's going on. She's been an instrument of helping young men, guiding their lives in South Florida since I can remember. But Ryan, hey, get me, listen, as a matter of fact, I'm going to let you decide which one in California that we're going to bring on. We're going to bring one receiver out of California on the show, and then we're going straight South Florida. We're going from Palm Beach on down. We're sending out the invites. I want to have these invites ready to go by Wednesday. So we got to jump on these names. Let's get them in. Give us the guys that you know. Let's reach out to them. Tell them we got a show of receivers coming in the building. And we want to make sure.
The only hang up on that is you hope, obviously being an open period right now, a lot of these coaches are going to be down here doing in-home visits at night.
Oh, yeah. That definitely will. So we're going to try to grab what we can grab. Hopefully they ain't doing no in-house visits that week. Because they was, you know, I was supposed to have an in-house visit this week, but I decided, you know, hey, I got to do my show, you know. But we decide, hey, let's, the ones that we can get, we bringing them in the building. They want to, we want to bring them on the show. We going to bring them in the building because I know it's that time of the year when everybody's coming down to get the jump. So that's why we need to get the confirmation by no later than Friday or Saturday on these guys that's coming here on the Tony Sands Show. Ryan, man, hey, bro, get ready. We're going to have a ball next week. We're going to turn tilt the kilt out here in South Florida. The top 2016 receivers will be in the building here at Tilt the Kilt joining the Tony Sands Show because it is a top show. So we only bring the best on. That's why we got my main man from 24/7 Sports because he is the best in the business. We're going to send you out with the Carter again, and then we're going to bring in some of the local high school stars that we have here in the building. But we're going to send you out with the Carter because that's the only way that we're going to bring you in and let you go because you are the Mr. Carter of the recruiting industry.
Nice. Sounds good, guys. Well, great talking with both of you, and I'll see you in person next week.
You know
it. Even out at a game this weekend.
All right.
Baby, we got you. Thank you for joining the show. We're live here still, like I told you, we're live here at Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale on the corner of Las Solas and Andrews Avenue. This place is exciting. The food is awesome. The service is the best in the business. My main man, Kelson, ate up all his burger before we even went on the air. You ate up all your food, bro.
Hey, I had to get it down.
How you eat your food like
I had
that?
To get it down, get it in. Like,
normally, I'm the one eating up my food. My food is sitting over here, so I'm about to take it home.
Yeah,
I'm about to take it home.
But yeah, but you like eating yours cold. I got to get mine warm.
I'm an older guy. I can't have all that stuff burning my mouth. I'm older. I'm up in age. I am up in age, so I can't have it burning my mouth. I like to eat my own. Like the, you know, I see some people, they love it food hot. They like,
yeah, blow it on it while you chew it.
Yeah,
blow it
I cannot
while you chew
enjoy
it.
Food like that. I don't see how people enjoy food like that. You heard my main man, Ryan Bartow. We're going to go to a 4-minute commercial break, and then we're going to line up our guests here in the building. First on deck, we're going to bring D. Neely, South Broward linebacker, to the building. My main man sitting right on the right of me is Kelsey Dudley, my co-host. We're taking over South Florida here on the Tony Sands Show.
Going down.
Stay tuned.
Yo, Jordan after this right here is crazy. I feel big. You know, like, not big in the sense of weight. You know what I mean? Like gaining weight or nothing like that. Like colossal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
Hello.
You know.
Back here live on the Tony Sands Show at Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale on the corner of Las Solas and Andrews Avenue. Me and my main man, Kelsey Dudley, is bringing it to you. Whether it be the professional ranks, the college ranks, or the high school ranks, we are bringing it to you here on the Tony Sands Show. But let's dig into this, Kelsey. We got one of our guests on the show here, South Broward linebacker, D. Neely in the building. Man, listen, Let's get into it. I know you guys are not too fond of the way your season went, you know, and things like that. So what are some of the things that you guys are looking at when you look at your team and where you guys want to be come next year in the district that you guys are in? What are some of the things that telling each other about this offseason of what you got to do to get things done?
Well, first of all, we was a young team to begin with, and it took a little time for us to get together. So this offseason, we spend time together to get the chemistry together. Mm-hmm. And we worked on our weaknesses, were our focuses on the D-line and the O-line to bring us together. And we just bring in players that will complement our team.
And you said one thing, like you said, that'll complement what you guys already have there. Yes. Because sometimes you can bring in guys that's not a complement to what you guys have, mm-hmm. and it becomes more chaotic than it becomes a mesh gel to mesh together, to play together. Mm-hmm. Now, you yourself, you know, you play the linebacker position, which is that's a smart man's position on the defensive side of the ball, like the quarterback is on the offensive side of the ball. Do your coach lean towards you a lot of calling the signals out on the defensive side of the ball?
Yes. They told me basically I'm the head of the defense.
Correct.
You know, I have to run the defense, and it's my responsibility. So is others, but as a linebacker, I have to take control.
Line them up and get them situated. Mm-hmm. When it comes to calling out the signals, you brothers better get in line because I am the man when it comes to this defense. Now, that comes with leadership. That comes with responsibility.
Yes.
So that when I say leadership, now, you got to make sure that you are doing mm-hmm. what you got to do in the offseason so your guys see mm-hmm. that, hey, listen, y'all got to follow me. Follow my lead. See what I'm doing. If you are doing, and that's where you demand it, because I feel when you're building team chemistry, like you said, mm-hmm. you guys got to gel together. You got to spend time in the offseason together. Mm-hmm. So are you guys planning on whatever you're doing at South mm-hmm. Broward, are you guys doing it as a whole or are you guys doing it as an individual?
As a whole, as a team. Everything we do as a team to gel together. Everything.
Okay, we talked to earlier to my main man, Ryan Bartow, here on the Tony Sands Show. He is our recruiting insider because he knows everything. Have you gotten your huddle tapes and all that stuff up ready to go? And because we have coaches that listen to our show constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know where they can go to get your huddle or how they can get in contact and see some of the things that your physique and how you built, and not only how you built, but how you play. Where can they go to get that information?
You can go to South Broward High School Huddle.com, or you can just search up my name, Dimitri Neely Huddle, and my profile should come up with my highlight tape, my size, my weight, my speed, my bench, and my squat.
Now, with being a star on the campus come a lot of things. You know what I mean? Being a big man on campus, you said you are the leader of the team. That comes with a lot, I would say. A lot meaning people that want to be around you. Mm-hmm. Things of that nature. You know, you're on the Tony Sands Show, so I'm going to be, you know, real with you. That comes with a lot of things like women. Mm-hmm. How are you handling that?
First of all, school and football always come first.
Okay.
And distractions and everything, I try to put that away for me and the team. And really, I try to keep myself on the right track and stay alone, really.
Okay.
I be in my own zone.
That answer couldn't
He was ready for it. He was ready for that curveball, Tony.
He was ready for that answer.
He was ready for that one.
As if he's been asked that question previously before somewhere, because for a young man to give that answer in that order, he didn't have to think at all. As soon as I said it, it rolled across his tongue. I done been prepared for this answer. Some people done asked me this question, so I know what to say. Now, how is it, you know, we talk about the field, we talk about all of these distractions. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty, which is the academics. How are you doing in school?
I'm doing good. There's always room for improvement, though. So I study more, try to stay in the books as much as I can with sports and everything, and improve myself in the classroom.
Now, linebackers tend to be, you know, you got quarterbacks that are sometimes quiet. They're talking about that with Ryan Tannehill. They're seeing Cam Newton get their guys, his guys pepped up for games and things like that. Away from the game, are you more of a laid back type of person? You still hyped up, because linebacker is a hyped up position. When you're away from the game, what type of person are you?
I'm more of a chill, relaxed person, but in the game, you got to get yourself ready and pumped. But on the field, I'm there. Off the field, relax and do what I want to do.
You're live here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking to D. Neely, South Broward linebacker. Now, we're looking in the future. What are some of your, if you had your choice of your top school that you would like to see yourself playing at, what are some of those schools?
I would like to see myself in FAU, FIU, UF, maybe Florida State.
Don't say Florida. Why would you say, don't say Florida State?
He didn't feel like it was a good list until Florida State finally made the list. And I'm with you on that.
As soon as you say Florida State, his ears peak up. Like,
with you on that.
Yeah, I wanted to hear that.
You know, hey.
Man, listen. FAU, you said, University of Florida, and then you end the list with Florida State.
Also FIU.
FIU. And you end the list with his, happened to be Kelsey's, you know,
hey.
School. He was probably in the house this weekend.
Loving it, jumping all over, you ever seen that thing
be them people, that little animal be jumping from bed to bed all over the place. That's how he was jumping all over the place when they were beating the University of Florida.
Loving it.
You know, they were jumping all over the place. Now, this offseason is getting ready to come up for you, and well, we already into your guys' offseason, but with offseason comes camps and things of that nature. Have you started lining up some of the camps that you want to
take? I have everything scheduled, other than working with you and everything. I have everything scheduled.
You heard him, folks.
I have everything scheduled to plan out through the offseason. Also, I'm trying wrestling.
You want to be a wrestler?
Yeah.
Wow. Wrestler. That helps you a lot with you.
A lot.
You have to fight with your hands. You have to move and get off blocks.
A lot of the trench players. Yeah. That wrestling helps with leverage.
That is a smart. You are talking to D. Neely. He is a smart guy. He plays the linebacker position for South Broward High School. Man, it was a pleasure having you join me and Kelsey here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to leave him out because South Broward is his house. So when I think of my house, I think of my man, Flo Rida. You know I love that song. That has been to become the national anthem for when it comes to hype songs in America. That song, NBA just picked it up for their playoff series that they're going to be playing that Flo Rida, My House, all the time. So we're going to end here, let him lead the show out on Flo Rida. This is my house. South Broward is his house. He is the deepest of mind they're going. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we're bringing back one of the positions that I love, because I've trained some of the best in the business when it comes to DBs. We're bringing T. Williams in the building. Now, you know what? Tremaine Weave, you know, that was a guy that I had also had an opportunity to train that was with the Green Bay Packers. Defensive back. It's amazing how those names fit the position that you play. Mm-hmm. We're going to see if his name fit the position, because he has a name that fit his position. Those names tend to go hand in hand. I give guys names here on my show. So right now, don't let nobody call you Demetrius Neely. Your name D. Neely from this point on.
All right.
D stand for dominate defense. Right. Neely. Double D Neely. Dominate defense Neely. That's what they give out. I'm giving everybody names here on the Tony Sands Show. People have changed, and this is no joke. People have actually left the show and changed their Twitter accounts to the name that I gave him. The top DB in some sites, top DB, number two DB, I'm gonna call him number one DB. I gave him the name Shutdown on my show, and he went and changed his Twitter account. Now it's called Shutdown. Because when I give names, I don't hand them out that off. But when I give you a name, it fits your personality. So you are Double D Neely this point on. If you want to go change the Twitter page, go and change to Double D Neely.
As soon as I get home.
As soon as you get there. Hey, you're here on the Tony Sands Show. We love spending time with the young guys, figuring out their mind. This young man got it all planned out. So schools, if you're looking and you're trying to get it, this is the man of the hour. Come down to South Florida and check him out here on the Tony Sands Show. Let's go to a quick commercial break. Leave him out with Flo Rida.
Open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to
me. We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, live at Tilt the Kilt. My main man, Kelsey, sitting to my right. And we are joined on the show by South Broward, none other than T. Williams, stands for Terminator Williams, here on the Tony Sands Show, because he is just that when it comes to changing directions on receivers. We are just that. T, welcome to the show, man. You're here on the Tony Sands Show. So let's dig into it. I get straight into it. I ain't got time to waste. Ain't no time to play around here on the show. Now, let's dig into the game. I know you guys don't like the way your season turned out. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that, you know, successful for you? But what are you guys doing as a unit to prepare you guys for this upcoming offseason and look to have more success next year?
Well, you know, we coming together in the weight room so we could get bigger and stronger. And in the offseason, there's a couple of players running track to increase their speed, so it helped them on the football field. And yeah.
So that's what you guys are getting. So you guys got a pretty much got a plan, because you guys, of course, you guys want to have success in the district that you guys are playing in. And I know you want more success out of that for yourself, not only for yourself, but as a team. And I had the chance to ask your man Double D about distractions that comes with being an athlete in this day and age, because there are a lot of distractions that come with the brothers on the field, you know, around the buddies or away from the buddies, and the girls start coming in. How do you juggle all that?
Well, I juggle it.
Yeah.
I put them in like my time, like at home. I have them like set up, and like, so I do a little bit with my homies. No, actually, I go home, and first out the gate, I get my homework done.
Okay.
Out of my homework, if I have some time to chill with my homies, I'll chill with them.
Okay.
And then whatever time I got left, I just vibe with myself.
He said he just vibe to himself. He didn't say. And if you notice, he kind of left out that last thing that I said. He just said, if it ain't my homies, I'm not doing my homework. I just vibe to myself. So when you say vibe to yourself, that means, you know, away from the game, you a laid-back type of person, or you one of those hype type of persons. You know, I'm hype either way it go. Whether I'm on the football field or I'm away from the field, I am a hype person, period. You know when I walk in the building. It's almost like the Rich Homie Quan song. When I walk in the, you know, it is what it is. I take over a place. When you walk in a building, are you more laid back or you are the center of attention?
Nah, I'm laid back.
You laid back? Okay, all right. He say he is laid back. T. Williams, Kelsey say he laid back, bro. He's one of those laid back type of athletes. I find that with a lot of these, this generation of athletes, I guess, and they got more than what we had. Media-wise, exposure, everything. I mean, you can't even measure the difference in what they're getting and what we're getting.
Yeah.
And I mean, far and beyond a
huge exposure. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about, we talked about the field. We talked about how you vibe with the homies, if not with the homies, how you vibe yourself. Let's talk about that classroom. How do you vibe in jail in that classroom with the teacher?
I sit next to the teacher in front of the class.
Oh, you a smart man. You're a smart man. I like that about that. I like that. Now, you say you sit next to the teacher. I know the reason why I sat next to a teacher. The reason I sat next to a teacher was because, listen, I know I wasn't the smartest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. So if I sat next to the teacher, I'm going to always make her notice, look, teacher, I'm coming in this classroom every day. Every day I'm coming in here. I'm sitting right next to you. I'm going to try to answer questions, even if I don't even know the answer. I'm going to bumble around it. That way to let her know I got class participation. It might
I'm
not
trying.
Be the right
participation.
Yeah,
I'm trying. Give
but
me something.
Some type of participation. So that way, that helped me a lot in college. And I remember this lady to the day. Jan Sheldon. I remember this lady. I will always remember this lady to this day. I die with that lady on my mind. Jan Sheldon, this lady, man, I failed every one of her tests. It was no secret. I failed every test this lady gave me. But I was in class on time. Here I am, a star athlete at the University of Kansas. I'm in on time sitting in front of her like this. Raising my hand, whether I know the answer or didn't. I'm raising my hand. Some of the football players said, well, there he go, Brown.
There you go.
Call it what you want, but guess what? The lady told me clearly. She said, I know you don't know how to take my test. And I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you recognize that. Maybe, and my mom said, well, maybe you need to change. She said, but I ain't changed. So now that took me. When she said that, I said, oh, my heart just dropped.
Let me stay with
it. Uh-oh, what's next? She said, but I'm not going to fail you because you come to class on time. You do class participation. So with that, I'm going to give you a D. I shook her hand real good. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't care. You know, some people say, they gave me a D. Oh, man. Man, I didn't care. A D to me was passing. All I needed
time.
You to do me, give me that D so I can move on the next semester and get another subject.
In that
you
class.
Have passed me. I didn't want to have to retake this class again or possibly another one. I didn't need my college interfered with at all because I was struggling with everything that they was giving them. And they, you know, they give them a lot more now, but they gave us extra special kids, as I call us.
Right.
Those kids were low-scoring kids. That was me and a bunch of others that came in my classroom and some other guys on the basketball team. As a matter of fact, Greg Oshetak, who was a, you know, about,
Greg
was one of those kids in class. You know, he was a clown. Greg was a clown. Greg standing about 7'2". Now imagine a 7'2 guy sitting in them little old bit of desk. We used to laugh at him all the time. All the time. One day, anytime I came in with the intent to just push the desk over, just to see what happened when a big tall dude falls over.
Fall out
Now, this dude knees come to the, I have me a little, you know, Nissan truck. His knees actually come to the top of the hood.
Wow.
Came to the top of the hood. That's just how tall this dude was. But here I am, 5'5", barely at that time, 5'5½", trying to push a 6'7", 2 guy over in a desk. That's just like what they call cow tipping.
Yeah.
Back in the day where you run up to a cow when it's sleeping and just tip
them over.
Once you tip them over, they can't get back up. Yeah, they got to have help to get back up because their legs on the side. What's your reasoning for sitting right in front of that teacher? I hope it ain't, you know, back in the day I had a friend named Poot. He sat next in front of the teacher, but he didn't sit in front of for the right reasons. He sat in front of for the wrong reason. What's your reason for sitting in front of the teacher?
My reason for sitting in front of the teacher? You know, my friends, and I know if I'm next to my friend in class, I'm not going to pay attention. So my friends sit next to the teacher. So they sit all the way on the other side in the back of the class. So I can pay attention in class and I get my education.
Now, like you said, your other friends don't pay attention. They sit on the back. Now, with you paying attention, do your other friends come after you after class because they know you don't pay full attention? Do they say, listen, bro, listen, I need some help here. I wasn't paying no attention. I know you was paying full attention, so I need you to give me all of your attention and your answers to help me pay attention when I want to. I need some answers. Do some of them come to you like that?
It's a couple of them, but most of them don't even do their work.
They don't. They just said, heck, you got you.
Chill.
You a nerd, sit up at the front, whatever. I ain't doing it anyway. But now, those that come to you, what's your answer for those that come to you, though?
I break it down to them.
What you tell them?
I break it down. If whatever we doing, I break it down. I got their phone number, so I break it down and help them if they need
help. You help them out?
I help them out. They're my friends.
Let them know. Let them know.
But he say he help them out, though.
He help them out. By breaking it down.
Yeah. And giving them the knowledge of what you already know to help them out so they can, you know, further themselves, too.
Yeah.
I had a friend like that, too, that helped me out. I can name three of the best ones in the world. Man, if it wasn't for them, I'd probably be who we. Ulysses Robinson, I got a chance to see him this weekend. Hats off to my boy. That is my that was my lifeline in high school. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have made it this far. Probably would have been a Prop 48, but I'm not going into that. Jay Lidigan, white boy in the frat house. Woo-wee. And when you get to college, join up. Don't listen. Don't hang around with them brothers on the football team. Yeah. Find you some of them boys that's on your team that got them frat houses because they got all the answers. in their files, they got all the answers to all the tests. You get with them, study with them, life is a climb. But you get with them brothers that know just as much as you do, ain't no learning taking place.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing the same thing.
Everybody serves a purpose on a college campus.
Yes, and use it to just that. Now, don't get like the University of Louisville. You want to stay away from that. They use their purposes for other things. But we don't want to get into that with your teeth. But, now ask D about history. Give me some insight on where you playing. If you had your choice of playing at a school, give me three of your top schools that you would love to see yourself, and you could envision yourself with that uniform on.
My first school is University of Miami.
Uh-oh. Well, I don't hear Florida State yet. You ain't got to put him in there. Go ahead.
Let me see. University of Florida.
UF. Uh-oh.
And UCF.
Man, he said the heck with Florida State. He named every other school in Florida besides South Florida and Florida State. And University of South, I guess he said anything that have a U, a F, and an S in South Florida, he don't want nothing to do with it.
Hey, look.
Nothing to do with it.
Miami and Florida don't belong on the same list. Those two teams do not get along, so you got to make a choice between them two right there. They don't get along at all.
UCF, I got to but look, University of
UCF
South Florida.
UCF is all right. They're neutral.
University
by the way,
of South Florida.
By the way, that's a great
Florida
campus.
State
a lot
University,
of things go down on that campus. So you know,
in it. He don't
good
want
choice.
Nothing to do with it. Nothing. He don't want nothing to do with it at all.
Yeah, he get, but that you know that's okay. He gonna find out. You know, somebody'll help him out and they'll give him a little bit of heads up. And you know,
but I said,
all it takes is one visit up to Tallahassee. That's all it takes.
I hope you ain't talking about dope. I hope you ain't talking
all
about,
it takes is one visit.
Dorms.
Well, that's
run down. That's old.
Hey,
Burt Reynolds dorm is old.
No,
that was excited when I got that because they just had built and it was a cool thing.
No, not
but,
not. No, I'm pretty sure they've updated things by now. Cause so you know, is it?
Nah.
But believe me, once he makes one visit up there, we'll be hearing back that hey, I added him to my list.
Facilities ain't a main focus for him because he put UM as the top of his list. UM facilities ain't the best of the best.
Not the best.
But he loves putting up the U though. He loves putting up the U.
Hometown team.
Hey, come on, let me that we on here. He's putting up the U here on the show. And we brought some of the best university commit and university guys here on the Tony Sands show. So he is putting up to you. But we let D. Neely go out on my house, Florida. We're going to play flex for him. We leave it, letting him go out on flex.
Let him dab on it, huh?
Yeah, we're going to dab on that thing. Flex, we're going to go flex. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're coming back here on the last 30 minutes of the Tony Sands show. Me and my man Ben Kessler is going to break down tonight's game and more here on the Tony Sands Show live from Tilt to Kill.
Hey, oh, daddy, 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 daddy. Walked in 30,000 in my pocket, had them looking just like, oh, $50,000 on you, bitch. You on the phone, you gotta scream it like, ooh, 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 ooh. Cause I got a check, who then you wanna flip? I ain't got a flip, but I got it.
Fans on the Tony Sands show here at live at Tilted Kilt, getting it going on here, going into all kind of sports here. We got all kind of TVs down here at Tilted Kilt. Wonderful food. I think I'm gonna have to go in on some of those boneless wings sometime after the show here as we finish up. But checking out the Miami Heat on the TV screens down here. You know I gotta keep my Miami Heat in the scene. And then we also got our Monday night game going on tonight between the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. So big time things going on in sports We've been covering some of the changes in college coaching, also some of the things going on in professional sports with the Dallas Cowboys. And Tony, we had a mighty giant fall last night, late last night, in the snow. The Patriots, the mighty, mighty Bill Belichick Patriots,
but not only did
came
they fall,
to a fall.
How far did the giant fall with the possibility, without being without their tight end, Gronkowski? How far did they fall when it comes to them in their quest for the Super Bowl?
And it's, you know, that I think is, and some of the players were speaking on that after the game, how big and how much he plays a part in them winning. And they wanted to make sure that he will not, or hoping that he would not be out for long. They did see him walking around the locker room afterwards, after the game, but not sure because of tests, not sure of how long he would be out. So
it says possibly a 1 week, but they're going to look at it as a week-to-week incident, because I'm quite sure in the position that they're in, they want to make sure that Gronkowski is very healthy toward December, when it counts for them to possibly make their run for another Super Bowl.
Okay, now here's something to look at on that side of the because you're getting a playoff scenario setting up here with those teams. Okay, you're naming the top three in the AFC with the Patriots losing. Now you have the Broncos one game back,
correct,
and then you have Cincinnati one game back. Okay, now Broncos got the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So if the Patriots take one more loss, they lose home field advantage.
Yes.
So but then, that's something dealing, important for Gronk being out.
Right, but then when you're dealing with Bill Belichick and you're dealing with Tom Brady, your house become my house. And I just tell you, that's why I'm playing Florida so much.
Yeah, they don't.
Your house become their house. That's just how bad they are.
They're used to it. I mean, with a team that is so prepared as they are, you know, going on the road is not a problem for them.
At all. And breaking down, let's talk about breaking down this Monday night game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. And we spoke about Johnny Manziel earlier in the show and how he went out and partied with his boys. And I'm trying to think, sometimes our boys ain't our boys.
No.
They should have knew that Johnny Manziel, just fresh out of rehab, could not take a hit of him being shown in a drinking atmosphere.
Yeah, who was the responsible one out of the group of, you know, we call those guys that hang around you for their benefit?
Yes.
Cat D's or you know, your little Tagger-ons.
Yeah.
So who out of that group was being or thought to be the responsible person? Obviously, no one, because they were jumping around
now,
in the video with him.
Who's watching the hen house while the hen run around? No one. So in that instance, they caused their homeboy, possibly Dollars, possibly do he stay around in Cleveland after this year?
No, I don't think he does. I think that was a major part to kind of, that was like the last straw that broke the camel's back there, that I think he won't be able to get past that, because the head coach, Mike Patton, did say that he felt a slap in the face. He felt that it was distrust there and disloyal for him to go out after they had that talk about progressing and doing the right things. He obviously went out and did the wrong thing after they had talked. So I think that's done. His run in Cleveland is done.
In Cleveland, he wore out his welcome in Cleveland.
Yeah,
but and I know his boys are probably telling him, "Oh, brother, we sorry, don't get it. You guys don't hit the media. I gave you guys pub with the story, but somebody should have knew." But did they sell that video?
It could have. It looked like someone that knew
that was
in the party, maybe.
Because it was so close.
It was so close.
It was not a video where someone was way over in the corner.
Yeah.
And it was right up on Johnny Manziel. So he can't say that he didn't know that it was being filmed. And that's what, you know, when you're out and you're out places like that, that's the one thing that you watch for,
right,
is video cameras. In this day and age, especially him with the notoriety and the troubles that he's had. At some point, someone of his boys should say, hey, listen, bro, you can't video this.
Yeah.
What goes on in this place stays in this place.
But then that was someone that was in that group, and they felt it okay, and Johnny okayed it, and they were in the group.
In the moment.
Yeah, in the moment, and then forgot about the moment after of what was going to happen.
The morning after.
Yeah. And
the morning after, did you do the right thing? And I bet he's regretting that now. But then he also stated, people are saying, why can't he party? Why can't a young guy like that, why can't he party though? And I say to this, in his situation, with what he's just, you know, rehab and dealing with substance abuse, you can't tempt.
Yeah.
You can't tempt yourself like that.
No.
You cannot play around with kryptonite. And his kryptonite is drinking.
Yeah.
You cannot play. Superman know not to play around with kryptonite, because he know that will bring that S on his chest will fall straight to the ground.
Yeah, that'll
stop. When that kryptonite comes around, and drinking for Johnny Manziel is his kryptonite.
Yeah, it
so
is.
He's got to be careful and understand that I can't be around that. But let's get into the game, because they're done with Johnny Manziel. Josh McCown is the starter. Mm-hmm. For Cleveland, you go from possibly they're saying Josh McCown was really golfing and realized then that he's at become the starter of the team. So he had to go and start studying film, because he was on the golf course. I'm not worrying about becoming a starter playing, because yeah. Johnny Manziel is they got.
Yeah.
But now Johnny Manziel is out. If we look at rushing yards per game, that's clearly given to the Baltimore Ravens, 97.9%. per game, the Cleveland 75.6 per game. And when we look at passing yards per game, Kelsey, it clearly, that's not that far of a difference. Baltimore Ravens 266 yards per game, Cleveland 260 per game. And then we look at yards, total yards per game there, that's not that much of a difference when you look at 364 and 335. 364 leaning to the Baltimore Ravens. We're looking at Justin Forsett, at 600 some yards, two touchdowns on the year, and Crumwell, 328. But we look at the quarterback position, Joe Flacco, 275 yards, 14 TDs to Josh McCown's 1,897 yards. Travis Benjamin is leading the receivers over there in Cleveland with yardage. Steve Smith, at one point, the little angry man, was at one point doing his thing. But I don't know if that has come to an end. But it appears that, like I said, in this game here, I'm clearly leaning toward the Baltimore Ravens in this game. Even though this game is a game of teams that are evenly matched, I'm going clearly in this game, I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens in this game.
You going with the Ravens in this game? I like the home team. I like the home team.
You're leaning toward Cleveland.
I like McCown to kind of, you know, he got fresh legs, had a week, couple weeks off, come in with some fresh legs. Hometown boy, Travis Benjamin, make things from the U.
Duke Johnson. Another U guy.
I like those guys to come in young, hungry, and kind of make something happen on the big stage on Monday night.
I'm going, you know, and it is a big stage that they play on. Not too often that the Cleveland Browns get a chance to play on Monday night. So I'm with you on that, but I'm still sticking with the Baltimore Ravens in this, even though they are in their division. They're behind Cincinnati, who's 9-2, Pittsburgh, who's 6-5. Baltimore is leading, is third in that division. Cleveland is last in the division with two wins, eight losses.
Bringing up the rear. So you got nothing to play for. Just let the young guys do what they do.
You're at the bottom, so the only thing you can do is look up.
That's it. That's it.
Straight up, can Josh McCown look up enough to get past the Baltimore Ravens? But, Kelsey, let's get to a little high school football playoffs. St. Thomas travels to Braden Rivers. Braden Rivers is one of those new schools over there, because every time you talk about schools over there, Kelsey, you talk about Bradenton Manatee. Was that big monster that you talked about? Braden Rivers is a team over there that St. Thomas have played. They played Plant City, beat Plant City. St. Thomas played Matter Academy, Rocco's team, and beat them pretty good. Right now, when you look at St. Thomas in the playoff, in their playoff run. A team hasn't scored in their three games over 14 points in all of their playoff games. That's defense like a mug.
Yeah.
And that's defense without.
Without your top guys.
Without your top defensive pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. To me, I think that defense realized they didn't have their big name guy. So at that point, that's the best I've seen the D-line play. The best I've seen their D-line play is what they're doing now. And they're playing as a unit. They understand that their big guy is out, so they're playing as a unit. And I like what I'm seeing. Roger and them, they appear to be peaking at the right time. Now they go to Plant City. From that point, you beat Brady to Rivers, Kelsey, you're in the state championship game.
You're in there.
You're on that back side of that state championship game. You are in. And as a matter of fact, wait a minute. I thought they played on Saturday. That game is played on Friday. That's December 11th. It's Friday.
December 11th.
I think that's a Friday. If I'm not mistaken, that is a Friday game. I thought it would be a Saturday game, but that's a
That's a Friday night. Usually,
that's a Friday night
game. Usually the 8A is on a Saturday night.
And okay, so that's a Friday night game, folks. That would be that Friday night game.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big one, bro. That is a big one. Orlando, the Tony Sands Show will be up in Orlando. We may be broadcasting live from Orlando at the Citrus Bowl when it comes to the state championship team. We will be probably one of the only teams that will be bringing it to back to our South Florida listeners with St. Thomas. We will travel on the road that week with St. Thomas to bring you that game live. But Kelsey, let's wrap up the show. Our producer's telling we got 90 seconds. We're going to wrap up the show. We got a chance to talk to Bibbs in reference to, is this the last time that we are seeing Tony Romo with the Dallas Cowboys? And is that collarbone so badly damaged that he may not be able to perform again as a quarterback with the Dallas Cowboys? And now, do Jerry Jones go after Johnny Manziel?
I think that's going to be Tony's decision coming back into the season. We look at an offseason where he can get a lot of things done by the doctors, and then we just see. Because you know Tony is pretty good on the golf course, that so is. He may want to give it up, Tony.
Ryan Bartow, guys, next week here on the Tony Sands Show, we're bringing all the top receivers. We're closing out. We got 30 seconds. Next week, we're opening the show with our own theme song. Our guys going in the studio to produce our own theme song. Kelsey, you're going to love it. We're closing out here at Tilt the Kilt.
Pass catchers. Pass catchers next week.
Next week.
Be here on B Square.
Wide receivers top in the country here on the Tony Sands Show. Peace.